press the wrong button and you are wondering where you are, you have landed in the wonderful land of WGXC. Whoa, I'm turning upside down. Wait, I'm not anymore.
We're Japan there. Coming at you straight from Wave Farm.
WGXC, Acra, 90.7 The Beat.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes as global influences converge in the exotic sounds of Raksha Mancham. Swedish producer Matthias Fridell pumps up the compression to make the dance floor jump. And Trans-Pacific duo Aloha does some tricky math. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Woodhouse Pizza in Greenville, New York. The restaurant is located on the grounds of the Woodhouse Lodge and offers takeout, dine-in, and outdoor seating. Open Friday and Saturday from 4:30 to 9 p.m. Expanded hours start soon. Information at thewoodhouselodge.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Columbia Greene Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm Lena, and I am from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Ghent.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
Bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. And I'm really glad to be back. I was away for the last 2 weeks. But I got to listen to the radio, and it was really fun to listen to your conversations and be surprised by what I heard. We got some good riddles out of it. I'll carry those on. Who has a book that they want to talk about first? Go ahead, Georgia.
Okay. So I've been working on reading the Young Rears edition of Becoming, the Michelle Obama autobiography. It is 400 pages that are that long. Right now I'm on page 227, so I'm more than halfway through. Right now, I am on the part where they are canvassing, not literally right now, but in the book. Right now, they are canvassing for their very first election for the primaries, and they're currently in Iowa, and Michelle Obama is starting to gain publicity. And she's surprised and a little overwhelmed by it, I think I read. And it's a really good book, and it's about all about Michelle Obama. And you recommend it on shows. I ran downstairs and begged my mom to get it for me. And so I read it. I started about a week after you first recommended it, and still working on it now, so took a while. Well, again, when I started out, I didn't really read a lot, but now I'm so hooked into it. I read at least 30 pages every day. And it's just a really amazing book. I could read you the description. The description is just pretty long, though. Yeah, okay. I'll narrow it. Oh, wait. Wait. You already read the description to us on the radio show. I will read it to radio listeners who are just listening to it today. Michelle Robinson was born on the south side of Chicago. From her modest beginnings, she would become Michelle Obama, the inspiring and powerful First Lady of the United States when her husband, Barack Obama, was elected the 44th president. They would be the first Black family in the White House and serve the country for two terms. Growing up, Michelle and her older brother, Craig, shared a bedroom in their family's upstairs apartment in her great-aunt's house. Her parents, Frazier and Marion, poured their love and energy into their children. Michelle's beloved dad taught his kids to work hard, keep their word, and her to laugh. Her mom showed them how to think for themselves, use their voice, and be unafraid. But life soon took her far from home. With determination, carefully made plans, and the desire to achieve, Michelle was eager to explain the spirit of her life from her schooling in Chicago. She went to Princeton University, where she learned what it felt like to be the only Black woman in the room. She then went on to Harvard Law School, and after graduating, returned to Chicago and became a high-powered lawyer. Her plans changed, however, when she met and fell in love with Barack Obama. From her early years of marriage and the struggle to balance being a working woman, a wife, and the mom of two daughters, Michelle Obama details the shifts she made to political life and what her family endured as a result of her husband's fast-moving political career and campaign for the presidency. She shares the glamour of ball gowns and world travel and the difficulties of comforting families after tragedies. She managed to be there for her daughter's swim competitions and attend plays at their schools without catching the spotlight, while defining and championing numerous initiatives, especially those geared towards kids, during her time as the First Lady. Most important, this volume for... Okay. That's the part that actually tells you about the story. The rest of that part is just like, this is perfect for young readers, which it is. I'd recommend it for ages, I'm going to say, 7 and up. The length of the book and the reading level is pretty high, so for most kids, like, 10 and up. But for the kind of stuff in there, it'd be 6 and up. If you wanted to have this book read to you, 6 and up.
You have a part of the book that you like the most, like a section of her life that you found the most interesting so far?
Well, I did love hearing about when she was at Whitney Houston High and her best friend was Santita Jackson, who I guess is now a famous singer. And her dad was a political activist for African Americans. Well, I mean, Santita Jackson's dad. It's a really amazing book. It really is. So I definitely recommend it. I'd rate it a 10. No, I'd rate it a 100 out of 5.
Wait, what?
Exactly. I'd rate it a 100 out of 5.
Wow. High score.
Which means I love it.
Glad you like it so much. Awesome. Who wants to talk about a book next?
I could go next. I did just go to Barnes & Noble a couple of days ago, so you know I have stuff to talk about. I got some new manga. I think I've talked about this before, but there's a series called Manga Classics, which basically adapt classic literature into manga form. And I've always liked this series because it's not all just one artist doing it. The artists are always different, and I love seeing all the artists. My favorite one so far is the person who adapted... I think Emma, and also there's also another artist who adapted Pride and Prejudice. I just found this one, Romeo and Juliet, and I had a comic version of Romeo and Juliet before, but not a manga version, so the style is much different. I haven't started reading it yet, but as I'm looking through it, it's really gorgeous. Like all the very long lines that would usually be in a Shakespeare play are just cut with like the most gorgeous illustrations I've ever seen. Honestly, they're very, very pretty, and I usually am annoyed by the long lines in Shakespeare, but this makes it so worth it. It's just really gorgeous, really, really pretty art. And also, I just love the way Mercutio is drawn. I mean, Mercutio is always my favorite. He's not my favorite Mercutio. My favorite Mercutio is always going to be the one in Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio. But I'm loving the way this one looks too. He's always been my favorite.
Yeah, I think he's a fan favorite, that character.
Yeah, he's just so fun. I love Mercutio. And then on the complete opposite side of the spectrum, I picked up another Junji Ito manga, which I think I've talked about before. He's a really popular horror manga artist. This is actually a manga adaptation of a Japanese novel by a woman named Osamu Dezai. I think it's a woman anyway. I'm not sure. Someone named Osamu Dezai. And it's been adapted into a manga for this. There's no description. It's called No Longer Human, and the only description I'm privileged to, apparently, is, mine has been a life of much shame. I can't even guess myself what it must be to live the life of a human being. And I have flipped through it a little bit, and if you've never seen Junji Ito illustrations, the whole point of them is to make you violently uncomfortable. And my gosh, it does a good job of that. Yeah, it looks creepy. It looks very, very, very uncomfortable and very creepy. But I can't wait to check it out. It all looks very, very nice, very chaotic, and I love that.
Sounds like you got a good haul.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, the actual cover art, like beyond the paper, is very, very gorgeous. It's all really pretty. Yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with Junji Ito anything.
Very nice. I hope you enjoy all those.
Yeah.
You can report back on some favorites.
The nice thing is that in the back of these manga, sometimes if they're made for an American audience, they will give you translations of some things that might be actual, like, understandable pop culture references in Japan, but might not mean anything to an American audience. In the back, they will sometimes explain those references so that you understand it better. And I like that. I appreciate that. Because obviously, as someone who's lived in America all my life, I probably wouldn't understand a reference to a Japanese celebrity. There's actually a manga I've liked for the longest time that does that, that's set in Victorian England, and they will give you footnotes for what the Victorian England terminology is. So that's nice, too.
Helpful.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Hey, thanks for sharing those. So, Lena, do you have a book you wanted to talk about?
Okay, so, yes, and the book that I want to talk about is one of the fairy tales from Grimm's Fairy Tales, and the translation is by Margaret Hunt. And the introduction is by Ken Mondenstein, PhD. And so this is one that I'm not finished with, but it's the story of the youth who went forth to learn what fear was. And all I need to tell you is that this youth is very crazy, because the kid literally just went over here like, hey, 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 stranger in the darkness, if you don't move, then I'll push you down the stairs. And like, the person's over here like, you wouldn't dare do that, but they just thought that. And this child just pushes them down the stairs, which is like, why? Like, I guess you didn't like acknowledge his warning, and you shouldn't always be over here like, ha, you're lying, I guess. But like, this child is crazy. So yeah, that's just an interesting part of the story of the youth who went forth to learn what fear was. And the child is crazy, so that's the moral of the story.
poor child. You said this is a Grimm's fairy tale?
Yeah, this is a Grimm's fairy tale, apparently. It kind of makes sense.
I like the obscure Grimm's fairy tales. They're very weird.
This isn't like one that's like obscure. Like, it's just one of those ones that's like, what's a good way to describe it? A good way to describe it is to be like, it would be kind of like if you made a movie adaptation of this by Disney, it'd probably be more kid friendly than the actual story, because when the child pushed the person down the stairs, they broke their leg, and then while he was leaving, he was just like, oh, your leg is broken, okay, whatever. Like, yeah, but if you had to ask me which one is, now that I think about it, I don't know what the word obscure means. Doesn't that mean, like, ridiculous?
No, it's like
it means relatively unknown.
Yeah, relatively unknown. Great definition.
Like the stuff I just described would probably be relatively unknown.
I don't know why, but like obscure made me think of like the word ridiculous or something like that.
You're like, it's not ridiculous. It's just a child that's really evil.
Yeah, I guess the child is really evil for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually really obscure now that I think about it.
Yeah, I was like, I've never heard of this story. And I started questioning whether you had really said that it was Grimm's or if I had made that up in my mind. I just never heard this story before.
Well, it is a Grimm's complete fairy tale story thing.
Did you read Donkey Cabbages yet?
I can't find Donkey Cabbages. I'm just going to Google it now.
It's a real gem.
Yeah, I'll read Donkey Cabbages as soon as I'm done with Rapunzel. And the youth who learned forth what fear was. Yeah, okay. I can't remember what the title was since it's too long.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. I love hearing about these bizarre Grimm's fairy tales. So I had two quick things to talk about today. One is that April is National Poetry Month. So I'm going to share a poem. And I'll try to do that every week for the month of April. And the first one is a poem from a picture book of poetry that I just read that I thought was really lovely, called Hello Earth, Poems to Our Planet by Joyce Sidman with illustrations by Miran Asien Laura. And so it's also a good pick for Earth Day being in April. And so the poem I wanted to share is called Our Part. It goes like this. Earth, we are part of you. We are connected. In taking care of you, we take care of ourselves. Help us remember the quiet daily things we can do to keep your water clean, your air fresh, your soil full of life, to reuse what we already have and leave room for wild things. Do you think we can do it, Earth? Can we work as hard for you as we do for ourselves? I like that as a little Earth Day poem for April. And the book has really pretty illustrations, so highly suggested if you like pictures with your poems. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention was that I don't know if you all heard the sad news that last week Beverly Cleary passed away, the author of the Ramona books, but she lived a really long life. She was 104 years old, going on 105. So she had a really amazing long life and made such an impact on so many young people. And it made me pull out my Beezus and Ramona diary that I had when I was a kid.
Aw.
I was a horrible diarist. Is that a word? I was really horrible at keeping a diary as a kid. So there's a lot of blank pages. And then at some point, one of my friends went in and wrote things for me that are not right.
Like what?
Like things that would be embarrassing if they were really things that I said. So she's trying to like put things in my diary that were like goofy or weird. She also wrote, Gail is awesome. Gail rocks.
Who's Gail?
That was my friend that wrote in my diary. By the handwriting, like, what's her and what's mine. And there's some really funny things in here, too.
Like what?
I wrote this whole thing about how school nights aren't fair because my sister gets to stay up later than me and watch food, and I have to go to bed early, but she has to get up earlier, so it doesn't make sense and all this stuff. But then for Father's Day, they have like a checklist of like, my dad does these things. And I checked off all of the boxes except that he cooks. Because my dad is a horrible, horrible cook. So bad. He was so bad he gave up on trying to do it at all. So if my mom is ever away, he just gets like freezer meals because he just like can't handle it. But then I added in, because there was an other where you could add things, and I said, he loves me.
Aww.
But I thought it'd be fun to read, not one of my entries necessarily, although I'll tell you my answers, but the April section, the very beginning part, they have a little quote from a book, and then they ask some questions, and I thought we could all answer them. Okay? So it reads, a warm, misty rain was falling. Bits of green tipped the black branches of trees. Ramona slowed down to investigate crocus buds like tiny yellow and blue Easter eggs that were pushing up through a neighbor's lawn. That's from Ramona and her mother. So then it moves into the diary text. So it says, April is a new beginning. The grass turns green and flowers appear. It is the time of baby animals too. And then it has some questions. Okay, so the first question, my favorite flower is blank. So what, I want to know what everyone's favorite flower is.
I like lavender. It smells nice.
That is a good one.
I would also like lavender. It smells nice. Also, there's an ice cream that I found called lavender. It tastes as good as lavender smells. It actually tastes like the smell. So I would totally eat lavender.
How about you, Georgia? Do you have a favorite flower?
Orchids. Even though they don't have a scent, they just smell like nothing. They're really pretty.
Orchids are very nice. When they're in bloom, it's really sad when they're between blooms and you're not sure if they're ever going to bloom again. But they usually do. I think I like all of your answers. And I'm tempted to steal one. But I have so many favorite flowers. But I think my favorite flower is jasmine. Also because it smells so amazing. There's sometimes when I see a jasmine plant in a store, if I don't buy one, sometimes if I can find a little flower that's fallen off the plant, I will just pick it up and I'll go around and smell it in the store. I probably look like a weirdo just being like, smells so good. But it does. It's the best smell ever. Okay, the next one is, what is the bird that you like best?
I gotta say either bluebird or eastern kingbird. Eastern kingbirds, they're pretty much the only birds that come to my house. We get so many birds and all of them are eastern. They are little birds that are gray with little white tummies. And they chirp a lot. And they're really adorable. And they're like, bing, bing, bing. And what's cool is they're not that scared of humans. You can watch it from like when you're only about 20 away from it, if you're at the bottom of the tree that's at the top of, or you're like 15 feet away from it while it's in the bottom of the tree, it's totally fine with that, which is amazing because you get to know so much about them because they're near you.
I like macaws. I didn't know how big they could get. They can like get really, really big, and that's kind of scary, but I think they're really cool.
I don't know a lot of birds, like, but I'd probably have to say like a crow or a raven, maybe.
It's really hard to narrow down both of these because there's so many amazing flowers and so many amazing birds. I love them all. I think I might pick a peacock just because they're really sort of fantastical looking. Like they look unreal. They don't look like a real creature. They look like something somebody drew. And they also sound bizarre. I had never heard one before. And then the last time I was in India, I was in an area where there were a lot of peacocks and they just make the weirdest noises. You should listen to one sometime, look it up on YouTube or something. So next one is, I think the prettiest tree is?
Cherry blossom trees. They're pink and I like that.
My favorite type of tree that I've seen are probably apple trees because they give you apples and also the blossoms are really pretty.
I'd probably have to say like a maple tree or like a willow tree or something like that. I don't know. There are too many trees. Plus, I don't know much about them.
Yeah, those are nice trees. So I forgot to say my like second or third grade answers, but my favorite flower had been a carnation. My favorite birds, I cheated and I picked two. So I said red-breasted grosbeak, although I think it's a rose-breasted grosbeak, and chickadee. And I put apple tree for the tree, but I think my favorite tree probably is cherry as well. Cherry blossoms are just so pretty. I might have to go with that. Yeah, I'm going to team up with Amelia on this one. And then the last one is, what do you enjoy most about the coming of spring?
It's sunnier for longer. I don't like it when it's dark earlier.
Well, I like that too. Also, I like that it's warm, especially up in New York. Where we are, upstate New York, in like April and March, it is in the 60s and 70s, which is my favorite temperature. And it's really nice out, which I like.
I'd probably have to say maybe my birthday is like
kind of near spring or in spring.
Yay. That's fun. My favorite thing about the coming of spring is Lena's birthday as well. Just kidding. That is very nice, though. I think in addition to what you all said, including Lena's birthday, I really like when everything turns green again. So like all of a sudden you realize that everything is green and you're just surrounded by green. And that's really nice after the long winter. So we just finished the first section of the April diary. Hooray. I couldn't quite figure out how old I was when I wrote this, because I think I also like sometimes went back and like erased my answers and wrote new ones. But this section I wrote in cursive, and I know I learned cursive in third grade. So I think it was third grade. But I said I enjoyed seeing flowers bloom, having birds come back, and wearing shorts. Which I just think it's funny.
Funny.
Yeah. I guess I was tired of pants. Couldn't wait to feed the bees. Winter's hard, you know? But anyways, I've been thinking about trying to, in honor of Beverly Cleary, go through and actually do this diary now, but starting with April, which is actually, her birthday was in April, and there's Drop Everything and Read Day in April is based on the Ramona books, I believe. I think that was something in those books. So April is sort of a Beverly Cleary month, in addition to the fact that she just passed away. So I'll start with April and go through March, see how far I get. But again, I've always been really horrible about keeping a diary of any sort. So we'll see how well this goes.
What I do with my diary is first keep it hidden in my kids' ATM machine, and you have to enter a PIN to get in. And I haven't told one person in the entire world my PIN, not even my parents. But I like my diary private. But anyways, so with me, I only write it when I feel like, because if I force myself to write it every day, it just feels like, blah. So I just write whenever I feel like I need to get my feelings out.
That's a nice way to do it.
Yeah, that way you don't feel pressured or anything.
Yeah, I'm going to put the pressure on, though, and make myself do it. We'll see how well it goes. You all can keep me honest. Remind me.
Just write what happens on your day. If it's like, what happened today? Just like, you can write work. That feels like play. Work. That's fun. Work. That's awesome. Work.
So you think I work too much?
No.
I did. That's okay.
You do not work too much.
What? I work a lot, but I enjoy my work, so.
I won't even know. I wouldn't know, so I'm not to tell you anything. Because yeah. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. Ow.
On that note, we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone out there listening has a lovely week, a wonderful start to spring, and lots of quality reading time.
Yes, and a good Easter.
Oh, yes, and a good Easter.
If you celebrate.
And Drop Everything and Read Day. Drop Everything and Read someday this week if you can. Any moment. Doesn't even have to be that day. But yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. And until then.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things. Sorry.
Bye.
Happy reading. Bye.